So if we're going to know how to pray, there are some things we need to understand. First of all, we need to understand who we are praying to. I'm coming into his presence. I'm praying to the Almighty God. David says, I lift up my eyes to the hill. And then he said, now, where does my help come from, everybody? He said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I'm going to the one who made heaven and earth. Now, he surely can take care of what's going on with me.
This is Jerry G. Martin. Welcome to The Light of the World. Join me as we go into this series to encourage the people of God to call on God to help us in our time of need. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
As we have embarked upon a season of fasting and prayer, I think it's appropriate to share with you the purpose, the possibility, and the power of prayer. You know, I grew up in a home where prayer was paramount. It was the thing that we knew. That was before the days of health insurance. So if we were going to make it, we had to pray. It takes me a time to realize that many of you may not have had that same experience, and so you do not know the power of prayer. If anybody want to tell me that God doesn't exist, it's too late. I saw him move as a child. It was Jesus Christ who said, man ought always to pray and not faint, not give up, not lose heart after you have submitted your request. Prayer should be an integral part of the life of a believer. It is not something we just do to submit a request to God. It should be a lifestyle of communicating and talking and listening to God, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, and who is everywhere all at the same time. Now, you know, if you had a friend, a real close friend, who was all-powerful and all-knowing and could just get everything done that you need to go, if you were best friends, a BFF with Bill Gates, you think you ain't gonna talk to him regular? You're going to be 2 years before he hear from you? No, you're going to try to keep up with him. Why? Because he has a power with his natural resources to do some things. And you're going to tell everybody you know that's my friend. You know, I got his personal number. When he calls, you're going to show somebody that's Bill Gates calling. Hold on just a minute. Well, we're not talking about Bill Gates. We're talking about God. Amen. If you have a relationship with God, why wouldn't you find out how you can take advantage, I'll say it that way, of that relationship with God? When we shared with you last time on the purpose of prayer, I pointed out four things that are important. Number one, I said that prayer acknowledges God and invites him to get involved in your business. Secondly, I said that prayer demonstrates your dependence upon God and not on your own power or your own ability to get things done. Thirdly, I said that prayer changes things. And fourthly, I said that God answers prayer. Now, if you know that, you ought to be praying. But I want to talk to you today about some possibilities of prayer. And I want to go to the book of James, chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Some possibilities of prayer. Believers who do not pray are like a person who won't call the insurance company when they have a wreck and take advantage of the benefits that they already have. They just leave the car on the side of the road and start walking and saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you've already have your insurance coverage. We already have a lot of things that God has already supplied for us. But if we don't know how to access it, we don't engage in it, we don't use what God has given us, then we're living beneath our benefits and our privilege. Here's what James says in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If you have the King James, it says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you were to analyze your problems, you will find that they will generally fall into two categories. Whatever is going on with you will generally fall into one of two categories. And those categories are this. They are troubles or they are sickness. Think about it. If you are broke financially, you have money troubles. If you have problems in your marriage, you got marriage troubles. If you get arrested and go to jail, you got legal troubles. If your car stops on the road while you're trying to get somewhere, you got car trouble. If you can't get a job, you got employment trouble. Now, whatever's going on with you, and this passage starts with this, is any of you in trouble? That's what he's asking. Now, he's asking this to the believers. He's not talking to the unbelievers. So when we're talking to unbelievers, people that don't know God, we don't expect them to get before God to handle their troubles. Is any of you in trouble? And that question can be asked now. And many of us will shake our head and we'll say, yes, if you put it that way, I've got some trouble. The question is, what kind of trouble are you having? It's trouble when you've done all you can to fix it and it's still existing. It's not trouble until you figure out you can't handle it. So as long as you think you can handle it, you're going to say, I got this. I know what to do. I know who to call. I've been through this before. I know just what to do. Our understanding is not even that good. Somebody been married four times. They'll tell you, I know what to do. I know how to do a marriage. No, you got trouble. You just don't know it. It's bad to have trouble. It's worse to have trouble and not know you have trouble. It's trouble when it's affecting your well-being. It's trouble when it's causing you anxiety, stress. And we're the most stressed out culture that there's ever been. We're living better than we ever lived, but we're more stressed than we've ever been. We've got all the conveniences, but we're stressed. We're nervous. We got issues. We got stuff going on. What's wrong? We got trouble. But he tells us that if you're in trouble, you should pray. Anyone in trouble? You should pray. Not only should you pray, you should know how to pray. Jesus' disciples, as they observed Jesus and when they walked with him and talked with him, and they observed his lifestyle, and they said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. We see you praying, and then we see things happening, but teach us how to pray. His disciples realized they didn't know how to pray. Now, you can say, but not pray. You can just repeat what you heard somebody else say. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. We're talking about taking care of some divine spiritual business that calls things to change in your life. So if we're going to know how to pray, there are some things we need to understand. First of all, we need to understand who we are praying to. I'm coming into his presence. I'm praying to the Almighty God. David says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And then he said, now, where does my help come from, everybody? He said, my help comes from the Lord. And then he qualified that. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I'm going to the one who made heaven and earth. Now, he surely can take care of what's going on with me. That's who I'm talking to. When Jesus taught them to pray, he said, you are approaching your heavenly Father. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, he said, pray like this. Our Father. You have a relationship with him. You have an interest with him. A father who has brought you into his family by his spirit and gave us a new birth. We've been born into the family of God by his spirit, so we are his. We are his, so we're going to our Father. Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, a Father who will look out for us on our behalf. He's interested. God is interested in what's going on in your life. Not only is he interested, he already knows what's going on in your life. In fact, he knew it was going to happen to you before you even experienced it. God knew it was going to happen. You can't just go to God and tell him everything going on in your life and expect him to be surprised. One thing you will never hear God say, and that's what? I didn't know that. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you got there, and he knows how to get out of there. The scriptures say there is no temptation, no trial that will come to you that he hadn't already made a way to escape. So you need to go to him. Our Father, you're our Father. I'm going to you. You don't have to call Dr. Phil. See, we got everybody telling us what to do. You got talk shows and people on the internet and people talking on your phone, and you put your problems out on Facebook. And I'm going through this, and everybody start telling you what to do. No, go to the one who made you. Go to the one who know how you function. He knows all the ins and outs. He knows your personality. He knows your emotions. He knows everything. Go to the one who has design on you, because he knows how to fix what's going on in your life. Our Father, who told us that we have not because we ask not. He said, oh, if they would just ask me, I would help them, but they're not even coming to me. Jesus said, if you want to pray, know who you're praying to and go to him. And James says, any of you got troubles? You need to pray. Our Father has all the power to do whatever he needs to do on our behalf to resolve our troubles. Doesn't matter what it is. The psalmist says, a righteous man may have many troubles, or the King James said, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Who wouldn't want to have a relationship with God who says, you know what, I don't care what you're going through, I got a solution, I can take care of anything. Now, suppose you had a child that was in trouble and they're going through all kind of difficulties. Maybe it's financial, maybe whatever. And you have the money, you have the means, and they never come to you. What are you going to say to them? So why didn't you come to me? Why'd you go over there with Ray Ray and he's broke as you? And I'm your parent. You know, I've told you whatever you need, come to me, and you never even came. Why would you go down that track and you could have come to me? You know I'm going to help you. God is saying the same thing. Now, why are you hanging out with Pook and them and listening to them, and I asked you to come to me? Amen. God is probably saying, I don't get it. You know why? Because you haven't been taught that that's where you need to go. Go to God in prayer. When Gabriel came to Mary to talk to Mary about her having a child as a virgin in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Mary says, how can this be? Gabriel said, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. I'm telling you this. You're going to have a child. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. She said, I don't understand. How can that happen? That can't happen. He said, don't say it can't happen when God is giving the message. Nothing is impossible with God. You got to get that in your heart. Nothing's impossible. I don't care what the doctors say. Nothing's impossible with God. I don't care what the mortgage companies say. Nothing's impossible with God. I don't care what the company says. They may say they're going to lay off everybody, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them. This is what he said. With man, this is impossible. They were asking a question of Jesus Christ. And he said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Now look at who you're going to. You're going to God who has all power, who knows all, that's everywhere. And he said, ain't nothing impossible. You won't talk to me. You got troubles? You come to me. You belong to me. So when we pray, we are praying to a God who says all things are possible. Say that one more time. All things are possible. Now, if we expect God to do the impossible, we're going to have to exercise faith. It takes faith to come to him, to ask him to do those things that are impossible. If we got these issues, we got these problems, we got these things going on in our lives, we want to come to God. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We have a way of saying, if I see it, I believe it. And God is saying, if you believe it, you can see it. Right? He works the opposite way. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what God says, not by what we feel, not by our senses, not by our sight, not by our taste, not by our feelings. We walk by what God says. Because if we work by what we feel and see, we're just going to give up. We're going to say, that's impossible. God says, I don't work like that. I'm on a different track. I'm in a different realm. I can move mountains when I get ready to move mountains. I can turn the heart of kings any way I want to turn them. That's why the old folks, they didn't have all the theology, but they can say, you know what? He's a lawyer in the courtroom. I can tell you that. He's a doctor in the sick room. I can tell you that. And he can make a way out of no way. I can tell you that. That's the kind of God I serve. It takes faith. That faith is that title deed. When you look at that, it says the substance in the King James. It is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means a title deed. What you already own. What you own already. You have a deed to it. It's like your house. You've been paying on it and it's got your name on it. And you got to keep on paying on it. But the deed is waiting on you. And you know what you tell folks? Even though you owe the mortgage company. This is my house. Won't you come over to my house? Now, technically, you don't own it yet. Miss a few payments, they'll tell you. But you can tell everybody, you don't do that in what? My house. This is my house. You're claiming it. You're saying it. You're speaking it. You're determined. And you're living just like it's your house. That's faith. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. I'm going to begin to say it, and I'm going to begin not only to say it, but I'm going to act like it. I'm going to tell folks, this is my house. You can put your name on the mailbox, everything else. This is my house. That's faith. So when you come to God, you believe who he is. You believe that he's, and you know he's your heavenly father, and that he has the power to do everything. And do you trust him to do that? Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. She hadn't touched him yet. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. I need to get to him. There's a crowd in the way. There's a bunch of folks here. He's all surrounded, but I'm going to have to push my way through the crowd. All I need to do is just touch him. I'll be made whole. She done made up her mind. She done been to every doctor in town. She'd been suffering for 12 years, and nobody had a solution. She said, I got troubles. If I could just get up there and touch him. When she touched him, Jesus turned to her. And he said to his disciples, wait a minute, somebody touched me. They said, Lord, all these folks around here, this is a mass of people, a crowd. What do you mean somebody touched? He said, no, that was a different touch. That was a different touch. You got to go to God with a different touch. You can't just be bumping up to, well, Lord, or you just, you know, Lord, you know, you made me, you know all about my troubles. Just help me, Lord. No, that ain't the kind of touch he's talking about. You got to push your way through. Say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need your help, Lord. All of my help comes from you. God, I need your help. I got troubles. And if I know if I can get to you, you're going to help me. Your word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you will deliver me out of them all. I know you can make a way out of no way. I got this help. I need your help, Lord. Give him another touch. See, we wonder why God's not working. The Lord knows your touch. I felt that touch. Why? Because I felt that virtue. I felt that power going out of me into somebody who touched me. Somebody touched me. And then he turned to her. He said, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. So you need to bring your faith. You need to start believing in God. You believe in everything else right now. Believe in God. I believe you. Say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. We sang a song called Only Believe. All things are possible if you can only believe. So you got to stretch your faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, It will be done to you according to your faith. When you go to God, you're just going, well, I'm going to see what's going to happen. Now, if this don't happen, now, if God don't move, I'm going to do something else. I got a plan B. You know what faith is? Faith is not having a plan B. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. Lord, if you don't work this out, I'm sunk. God, I need you. I ain't going nowhere else. I'm not going to try nothing else. I'm coming because I trust that you're going to help me with my troubles. I don't have a plan B. I done jumped off the mountain. God, if you don't catch me, I'm done. That's what faith is. Faith is not having a plan B. You can write that down. He said, according to your faith, it will be done. The Lord knows when you got faith. The Lord knows when you're trusting him with all of your heart. God, I'm trusting you with all of our heart. See, a lot of believers have come into the church and they just think God is a cosmic bellhop. I can just ask him to bring me whatever he's going to bring me. He's my vending machine. I just go up there and press what I want. Let me see, I want some of this, Lord. You bring me this. Listen, prayer is not ordering God around in Jesus' name. Lord, I command and I declare that you will do this for me. God is saying, mm-hmm. Prayer is humbling yourself before God and saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. And I know you are my help, and I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need your understanding. I need to know what to do in this situation. And when you get to that attitude, you know, you'll begin to pray about everything. He's interested in every decision that you want to make. You're going to say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I don't know what to do. I'm not satisfied with where I am on my job. I need to know what to do, Lord. Where you want me right now? What do you do? Should I stay here or should I go or whatever? And pray about everything. Don't wait until you make a decision and say, oh, Lord, now I need your help, Lord. The Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. That's mean praying. And then he will do what? Direct your path. In how many of your ways? All of your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. In Matthew 17:20, after his disciples couldn't cast a demon out of the young boy, they asked him, why weren't they able to do that? And he replied in verse 20, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as a small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. What would it be like if, I'm just going to just give you an example. Let's say however many people that are in here this morning, suppose each one of us was an optimum prayer warrior that had the great faith that nothing is impossible, and we get spread out through the city. People on your job are sick. Let me just pray for you, and they get healed. Somebody's going through issues. They got demon possessed. They just think they're bipolar. But just pray for them. Right now, they won't have no more bipolar. You cast that bipolar demon out.
If there ever was a time for the people of God to call on God, it is now. There are so many things going on around us, in our homes, in our community, and in our country. God placed his people here to make a difference. In fact, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then from heaven I'll hear you and then I will heal your land. Our land needs healing. Where are you right now? Would you join with people of God all over the country in this time of fasting or prayer so that God can move on our behalf? When we call on God, God can move for us. Pray for the leadership in our country. Pray for the leadership in our churches. Pray for the leadership in our communities. God wants to use you as an integral part of what he wants to do in the world right now. I also want to take a moment to invite you to join us as we are still having our service online every Sunday. Join us at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you have a prayer request and you want us to stand in faith believing with you, call us on our prayer line number, 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Also, the Beacon Bookstore is open on our campus. If you want materials about prayer, books on prayer and fasting, we have those in our bookstore. Call us at 281-441-2885. If you need Bibles, study material, offering supplies, or communion supplies, call the Beacon, 281-441-2885. Now, for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.